Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Morning, welcome. We're a little bit chilly in Joburg this morning, but they said it'll warm up a little later. Of course, we have in our studio this morning my very, very special friend, Dr. Jonathan Mach. Morning to you, Jonathan. How are you today?
Yeah, good morning. I've got quite an interesting day coming up. I've got a bris soon after this, and then I'm joining my wife in Potchefstroom for Shabbat.
Oh,
she's at
nice.
International Congress. She's presenting a paper there. So it finishes this afternoon. So I said, you know what, don't rush home, and I'll come out to Potch. And I thought it's a good way to ask you, you know, my good friend now, Isaac, is what do you remember of Potch?
Potchefstroom, I can tell you many, many, many stories. A lot of the very famous. Did you know
there's no more Jews? There's very few Jews.
Very
there,
few Jews there now, but the one of the most well-known families, the Kirsch family, came from Potchefstroom. That's Izzy Kirsch and Natie Kirsch and the older brother Shlomo Kirsch.
That's right, correct.
And the daughter who was married to Rabbi Sanders, who was the first Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva College. They came from, the Orlovitz family came from Potchefstroom, the Subel family. I knew all of them there because I used to go there quite regularly.
Who there is this Subel? There's the physiotherapist, Subel.
No.
Is this Orlovitz?
Orlovitz is the attorney.
Attorney.
And his brother, that's Dave, and there's the brother, Jerry Orlovitz.
But the prominent family is, at least commercially, is economically, is the Kirsch family.
The Kirsch family.
So it was Izzy.
There was Izzy and Natie and
Natie Kirsch is one of the wealthiest men in the world.
Yes, Natie Kirsch and then the sister, she married, as I said, Rabbi Sanders. He was the first Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva College. They're a really very strong community, and you know, Potchefstroom is near a military base,
yes,
during the apartheid called Lenz, or L-E-N-Z, because I know that for a fact, because that's where we did our military service in Lenz.
That's on the way to Potchefstroom.
On the way to Potchefstroom,
yeah.
That's there. And they used to host all the Jewish boys, you know, on a Friday night and on Shabbos
from
Lenz.
Lenz, yes. That's quite interesting. Is there a shul still there?
No, the shul is closed.
It's everything, closed. There's no sign of nothing.
I think they moved everything, and everybody now from there goes to, the nearest would be Clarkstorp.
Yes.
I've got
a cousin
but
there.
But Clarkstorp is still active.
Yes.
There is a Jewish community there. They do have a Friday night service. I'm not sure about Shabbos morning, but they do have Yom Tovim. That's definitely for sure. There's an attorney there, Mr. Wax, who's been running it for years. Mm. Clarkstorp was a very, 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 very strong Jewish community.
Yeah.
I can name you lots of families who came from there. The Schwartzes, and there was the a family who owned a whole lot of cinemas there, and they were very big.
How did the Kirsch family begin? Because, you know, we talked about
Kirsch
this.
Kirsch had a milling company.
A milling company.
Yes. Then they, Natie Kirsch, he didn't stay in South Africa. He went to Swaziland.
Right.
And that's where he developed all his business. And Izzy Kirsch came to Johannesburg. And Izzy Kirsch, don't forget, he started
702.
Radio 702.
Yeah.
And it was in a Ilov Street in a building called Dorke House. And the older brother, Shlomo, very religious. I may not be correct, but I think he's got smicha.
Oh, yeah.
And then, as I said,
he's Chabad.
Chabad, yes.
Yeah. So they entangled with the Bacher family?
The Bacher family as well, yes. And as I said, the daughter married Rabbi Sanders. He was here for many years. First Rosh Yeshiva, and then he was succeeded by Rabbi Tanzer.
Yes.
Now, but that's going back at least 50-odd years ago.
Now, the grandchildren are very strong in their Judaism here.
Yes,
there's Danny and there's William.
Izzy Kirsch is William Kirsch,
yeah.
And there's the other son as well. And, of course, they started Prime Media as well,
excellent.
Which was a very, very big advertising company as well. And they're very, and as you said, Natie Kirsch, but he's a wonderful philanthropist.
Do you know that he, I think he's given a huge amount to next door, to Hatzola?
Yes, to the Hatzola, yeah.
Yes. So it's just interesting coming from these dorps, and I think I'll go now to Potchefstroom with all, there won't be much, but I think there's a lot of history.
So who are you going to in Potchefstroom?
Okay, so we found a little bed and breakfast, it's called Cozy Bed and Breakfast or so, and yes. It's got, you know, it's a bed and breakfast.
But what's the reason for going?
Okay, so Shira, my wife, is very seriously involved in medical education in the country. And she's a senior figure. And they have their annual congress on medical education. And Potch University, it's a very strong university at the moment. And that's where it's based. So she's there already. And I'll be traveling out there this afternoon. It's only about an hour and a half. And we'll just spend the weekend and, you know... just imagine, you know, what came from Potch. But Potch is just one example of...
But if you want to go to the political side of Potch University, you got your F.W. de Klerk, who was our... Remember, he was our president. Yeah. He came from Potch. He studied at Potch University, and he was there with his brother. There was... Let's see if any of our listeners know what his brother's name was, because they were... the one was Verlich, and the other one is...
Verkrampt. Yes.
So that's where the difference was.
Yeah.
And Potch University was known as a Christian national or Christian university.
They still got theological departments there.
Yes, but it was a very, very strong.
I think it's still organized.
Yes.
In that,
and they
Calvinistic kind of way.
Yes,
in
and
a way.
They sort of like. The government of the day was based on that Christian national
education.
Potch's University, and of course, and that's where he met his first wife. Her name was Marika.
Oh.
Remember, she was murdered.
Yeah,
Marika. Why I do remember that very well because
that was near Milmerton.
Yes.
In fact, I'm a tennis to go to that series flats, and he showed me, unfortunately, which flat. She was murdered. It looks over, paradoxically, from the view, you look over Robben Island.
Yeah. In 1990, when de Klerk, he unbanned the ANC.
Where were you when that famous day when he unbanned? I know where I was. I was actually in London.
Oh, I know. I was in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And he unbanned it. But then 2 years later, in 1992... he went to Israel, I guess, and I was appointed to be his guide in Israel. He's a right-hand man, and I've got photographs of me. Wherever he went, I would tell him what was going on. If we went to Yad Vashem, I would tell him about Yad Vashem. We stayed at the, of course, the famous King David Hotel, and... Chief Rabbi Harris was on that tour there as well.
So who were you representing? Was this in your private capacity?
In private capacity, I was appointed. I was asked if I would be there and be his
And who asked
guide.
You? Who asked you?
I was recommended because I was then the editor of the Jewish Tradition magazine.
Okay.
And they said it would be right if I'd go along and just be able to guide him.
Well, one highlight that you remember of that trip with
One highlight
I mean, this South Africa was a spotlight of the world in those early 90s.
Yes. What I do remember is we went on a boat trip on Lake Galilee, but we'll come back to the boat in a moment. We're taking a break. We'll be back.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. Jonathan and I are talking about Potchefstroom. We mentioned about, I mentioned F.W. de Klerk. I went to Israel with him. I was his aide, or his guide. If he had any questions to ask, I would answer for him. For example, as I said, we went to Yad Vashem. We went to Kibbutzim. We even went to Jaffa, the aged home. We went to Ashkelon, which, by the way, was built by the South African Jewish community. Ashkelon, I'm sure many of you remember. We toured. We went to the Kotel. I mean, I could go and give you some more highlights as well.
Let's put this, he was still president of the country.
He was still president.
But Mandela was free for about 2 years already.
Yes. Don't forget the...
Was this a state visit or more private?
It was invited formally. Formally as a state.
Who was the president of Israel then? Remind me.
Well, the president then was Chaim Herzog. And the Prime Minister was Shamir.
Shamir.
He has succeeded Menachem.
And it was a very friendly...
Yes.
And you didn't have demonstrations or anything of that sort?
And I remember the South African advisor to Shamir was Harry Hurwitz.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure many of you remember. He was the editor of the Jewish Herald, you know, the Zionist Visionist organization. And we met quite often in Israel there with F.W. Clark and Shamir and Harry Hurwitz and a lot of the revisionists.
And was there a delegation that went with him?
There was a delegation that went.
So it wasn't just him and his bodyguards.
Yes. And from there, they flew to China.
Yes.
They went to Hong Kong, rather.
Right.
To, what did you call it in those days? Because today, you know, South Africa hasn't any...
Taiwan. Yeah.
They don't have any diplomatic relations with Taiwan.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting tour. As I said, we were on the boat on Lake Galilee. It was something special. I've got all the photographs. I've got the recordings. It was really a highlight tour. And Pik Buta was on the tour as well.
Mm.
And we went to the Kotel, and I explained to them what, you know, the meaning, everything. We even went to Masada. He toured Israel. We were there for 4 or 5 days.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And really, he got a wonderful reception because, you know, he just unbanned the Communist Party, the ANC, and everybody looked upon him. And I think the country owes him a debt of gratitude because they seem to overlook it. But he took that decision. I mean, don't forget, he succeeded P.W. Botha, who was very, very verkrampt. He would never have released Mandela.
Mm,
mm. But F.W. Clark took that decision with Pik Buta.
Yes, he could see the consequences.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would have had a civil war here.
There would have been a civil war.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. It was just a... And then I remember with F.W. Clark, with the late Chief Rabbi Harris and myself, we went to CODESA, which was that Congress for Democratic South Africa.
At Kempton Park.
In Kempton Park.
Yeah.
But that's for another time.
Okay, so... I hope Potch is warmer. I'm going with water bottles.
No, Potch is warmer.
And I hope that we could maybe just walk around and maybe find where the Jews lived on Shabbat we'll have plenty of time to walk. There's no community. So, the other highlight of my week was going to see this movie that was fascinating on Eric Kandel. Who won the Nobel Prize in 2002, I think it was. And we did speak about 3 or 4 months ago, Jewish Nobel Prizes. And I just maybe want to bring it up in this sense that, first of all, I was amazed that they have this like movie club, if I can put it that way. It's at the Great Park Synagogue, the Cyril Harris Community Center. And it was absolutely packed. And we got like front row seats on the right and... that was that afternoon, but what struck me was not just the movie, which we'll talk about, but how people need to get out and be part of a community and have a common interest. Because afterwards, I'm sure you've been there, they've got tables and chairs, and there was coffee and tea and cake.
Outside.
And I think the chief rabbi is starting this whole thing on bright spots is you know, to revive the shuls. And my view is if these – I'm not saying movies, but you have to connect people with common interests. It's more than just going to Davin Mincha Maariv Shachris. You have to go there and you have to feel connected to someone. So that was the first thing that impressed me. Although I did give a talk with a good friend of mine, Dr. Ryan Fuller, a few years ago on Alzheimer's and brain health, and it was absolutely packed. They did send people away. Not because of me, I think more Ryan Fuller, because he's an expert in this. But I was very impressed with that center, and it's a beautiful place, and the parking's good, and the security's great.
Is that the first time you'd been there?
No, I've been there. First time I've ever been for a movie there.
Oh, right.
I've given talks there, and I've gone to listen to, I think when Rabbi Sachs was out here, when was it? About 2006. I don't know if you were there. He gave a talk at Great Park. in that little amphitheater. So I've been there maybe five or six times. And in fact, I once went to see there was an art exhibition on Miesenberg.
Oh.
And that's where I grew up. So
right.
Then there was no pictures of me, but this was when I think Miesenberg was at height, 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, when they had about 500 families living, besides the holiday makers that used to come down. And that's a very wealthy ones that used to live across.
Correct. But we'll talk about Miesenberg. I'll tell you a little about it as well.
So that was the first thing I was impressed about, that the organizers have kept it going and they're meeting a need. There is people that like to see. And most of those movies, by the way, is on Judaism. Yes. They're about Holocaust and about,
They all
got a Jewish theme. I'm open to correction, but I think most of them have some Jewish theme. It's not just your local Walt Disney movies.
But you know, just as a diversity to say, we have Shiurim in Johannesburg, unbelievable. But there is a dearth, there's a shortage of culture in Johannesburg. And I'm not talking generally, I'm talking for the Jewish community.
Yes.
I remember in the old days.
Just define culture.
Culture, like for example, we used to have what we call, today you have it called CAGE or whatever it is. We used to have the College of Education, or Jews College, at the old Connoisseur Hotel. Used to be called the Cranbrook Hotel before it became the Connoisseur.
Yes.
Where once every 2 weeks or at least twice a month, a lecture would be held where upstairs, I remember, where about 600 or 700 people would come. And the lectures would be given by, like, Chief Rabbi Louis Rabinowitz. They would bring out an historian called Cecil Roth. And this morning, as a matter of fact, I just mentioned to Howard Saxton, he's the chairman of the Jewish Report. There's a little article there about Herman Woke, who's just written a new book. I said, you know, Howard, I personally met Herman Woke.
Oh, yes.
And I remember when he wrote his book called This Is My God.
Yes.
And he gave a lecture.
Mm.
I interviewed him.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if any of you have read the book. Have you seen the book?
No. What was the key takeaway from that interview?
I'll tell you about it. This Is My God. It comes from that pasuk when you quote, you know, you say, Oz Hashem Moshe, Zekei Levi Avehu. That's where it comes from.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you what about it. It's a very sad story. And then Herman Woke wrote two other books, and they made them into TV series. There were only two. One was called The Winds of War,
yes,
and the other one was War and Remembrance. I'm sure many of you remember. Mm. It was shown on our TV in 1976.
Mm.
Right. But Herman Woke was a very, very religious Jew. And he, in his own home in Los Angeles, he built a mikveh. His own mikveh in his own home.
Mm.
And they had a young little daughter. I think she was about 9 or 10 years old, maybe. And they went out one evening. And unfortunately, she drowned in the mikveh.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what made him write this book.
Oh, my goodness.
This Is My God, and I shall glorify him.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That was Herman Woke. I remember it like today, sitting with him in the Connoisseur Hotel in the foyer. But as I say, that's the dearth of culture.
But you know, there are little pockets.
Yeah, there are
pockets. I mean, if you look at just from a like a bird's eye picture, is this Limud that's coming up,
yes,
and also the Chief Rabbi's Sinai generation.
Exactly. But that's only once a year.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm thinking of what we used to have. I don't know if you. I know you love classical music. We used to have a symphony concert every single week. Before the Linda Auditorium at the Johannesburg City Hall, with that magnificent organ there, and people will tell you, you had orchestra. I remember in 1973, to celebrate Israel's 25th anniversary, the Zionist Federation brought out the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra.
Mm.
And we had two performances. It was sold out. Packed to capacity, you couldn't get a seat.
It was before CDs.
Yeah, I'd be wrong before TV and that.
CDs.
I was very involved in it with the late Lulu Lipworth, who was the information officer of the Zionist Fed, and we organized the tour. But not only that, then later you had all these concerts at the Linda Auditorium. You'd had concerts that would bring out guest artists from overseas. at the old Coliseum Bioscope Cinema, where we'd bring out opera singers like Tita Gorby or Benjamina Gili or Yossi Boerling. I can name you all.
Haven't heard of one of them.
Benjamina Gili.
I'm just trusting you that
Jan Pierce came out, yeah, and Richard, yeah, Tucker.
Wow.
As I said, it's wonderful, the Shirum, but there's a dearth of culture here.
Yeah.
We used to have book reviews, and they brought out two other great historians. As I said, the one was Cecil Roth. I'm sure everybody's heard of him, the English one. And there was also Max de Mont, also wrote a history of Jews.
Do you think there's a demand? There's still a demand. Because if there's a demand, then it must be easy to switch on the supply. Because we've got the places. We've got security. I mean, this place at Great Park is just a magnificent place for these kind of things.
That's
why. Where they eat, they could have a musical.
Yes.
So you're talking about classical music, book reviews, plays, opera, good movies.
Yes. And Yiddish theater was alive and well.
Yes.
And when the old Standard Theater was closed, demolished, everything moved to the Zionist Center. Zionist Hall had a beautiful hall there, all the facilities for a theater. And then we used to have overseas guests coming. Like I'm sure many of our listeners will remember, you had Yiddish theater with Max Perlman, who came from the Argentine, and he did all the Yiddish plays. And then he brought out an American actress called Molly Peacon. And in South Africa, we had Sarah Sylvia and Nusia Gold. I mean, I could go on and on. But you see, the Chief Rabbi Cyril Harris Community Center, it's 90% is all movies, DVDs and that.
Yes, yes.
But it's excellent because it's also showing you art. I saw one recently on the Guggenheimer Museum in New York, you know, the art museum.
Yes, yes.
And they have book reviews.
Yes.
But there's, as I said,
But the classic formula is, if there's a demand, supply will kick in. I'm not quite sure, because you've got major challenges now with television and radio. And you can just download a YouTube.
Yeah, we've got two texts here. Hi, Isaac. Ilan Assendreier here. I was on the boat on the Canaries with de Klerk too. I invited him to our wedding in Germiston. And the other one is, the Schwarzbergs still live in Potch. That's from Ivan Blumenfeld. So I think you should try and contact them this afternoon.
Ivan, if you can maybe send in some information, I would love to visit them. If you can send me their physical address or maybe their cell phone. And if they're in walking distance of Cozy Cottages, where we're staying, which is on Parais Avenue, I believe. I've never stayed in Potch, my wife and I would love to pop in and just make a connection. Because that's how the Jewish world is. I would just say, the Schwarzbergs are there.
We've got Ilan Assendreier just walked into the studio. Were you there on the boat with us?
Absolutely.
You remember?
I was there on the boat with him. It was his wife and myself. He was rowing.
Remember, I was there as well.
That's right. I was the official photographer for his trip.
Correct.
And
you were for the Jewish time.
That's right. And the Telfed and all those papers. And I invited him to my wedding. And on the day of my wedding, I get this letter or this telegram. Those days we had telegrams, that the clerk can't make it because he's in discussions about the referendum they were holding that time. But it was fascinating.
Right.
Yeah, just him and I rowing and his wife on the Canary, and I was doing the photography.
Right.
What do you mean rowing?
Well, you had a little rowboat, so he was rowing with his wife, and I was sitting there taking pictures. And
on a kayak type of?
No, like on the Zoo Lake kind
on
of
the
thing.
Zoo Lake.
And this was on the Canary.
On the Canary.
On the Canary,
this was
yes.
De Klerk, the president of South Africa,
with his wife.
It was me.
I tell you why, because there's something fascinating in relationship therapy, Margaret, is imagine you and your wife on a canoe.
That's right.
And there was, unfortunately, they did get divorced, I think.
But it was fascinating. Yeah. So I invited him to my wedding, and it was a time of the referendum.
Yes.
Can't remember what the referendum was about. Maybe
the referendum was where they going to. I remember it very clearly because he addressed us. We had all the Jewish leadership there. They were going to, are they yes or no? That was the question, yes. Whether you're going to accept a government, you know, a new government. And then they said yes, the country said yes. I remember it very, very clearly. But you remember when we were on the boat, what is the name of the fish on that canard? What is the name?
I can't remember
the name. The name of the fish was called St. Peter's Fish.
That's right, because of the times of Christ and...
Yeah, yes, right. Yeah. And we were all served this beautiful lunch of St. Peter's Fish.
That's right. That,
and it's a kosher fish because it's got fins and scales.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful tour there. It was unbelievable.
Was it a nice piece of fish?
Lovely.
Very delicious.
Beautiful fish.
And what do they serve? I'm just testing his memory here. Okay. So this is amazing. Thank you for coming.
No, I was listening on the radio. And I said, no, I've got to come in and just talk about this because it was special.
Where are these pictures?
They're all in Israel, probably with the Telfed. I think they should have it in the archives. But I'll never forget on the day of my wedding, I get this telegram from the union buildings. Mr. de Klerk apologizes. He's got urgent matters to do. But he sent me a telegram. Mm. And I remember the bridesmaid bringing this telegramming and saying, very unusual, the union buildings. Mr. de Klerk. They said, yeah, I have friends in high places.
That was a wonderful, wonderful tour that I remember it like today.
But this is quite amazing that they were...
And I remember the Rose Garden. You remember Jerusalem at the Rose Garden.
Yes.
Have you ever been to the Rose Garden?
Yes, sure. Many years ago.
That's where all delegates or people are flying into Jerusalem, and man, that's where they have some of the official meetings.
There's a number here for you to phone to get the Blumenthals. Okay.
Thank just by the way, the shul in Potchefstroom. Yes. Now I did a whole documentary on the Kirshes in Potchefstroom, yes. And the shul is now a place where you study makeup artistry and all kinds of things like that. So the shul's still there,
right?
And if I remember correctly, I think on the floor, I'm not sure anymore, but they had old pictures of Potchefstroom.
Right. Now I'm going to put out a question. I won't give the answer yet. Who was the rabbi of the shul in Potchefstroom in those days? Let's say in the 50s, 60s, if anyone can remember. Who was the rabbi? In a few moments, we're taking a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. We were talking about Potchefstroom, and I put out the question, who was the rabbi or the reverend? And I've got the answer there here from Angela, and it was Reverend Block. Now, also to mention that tonight Shabbat comes in at 5:11, Motzei Shabbat 6:04, the Pasha is Balak, and to remind you that Tuesday is a fast day, which is the 17th of Tammuz, Shiva also by Tammuz, and the fast will come in on Tuesday morning at 5:42 a.m., and the fast ends on Tuesday evening at 5:49 p.m.
So for some of our listeners, that's the beginning of the 3 weeks.
The beginning of the three
which
weeks.
Which culminates with Tisha B'Av, which is the saddest day of
the Jewish
calendar. So many things happen on that day.
Right. I'll put out the question now as well. What is the significance of the 17th of Tammuz? Okay. Shiva also by Tammuz. If any of our listeners know, you can text us on 34519. So what is the significance?
So, yeah. So I want to just say that with Angela and the show is just by announcing it. I've really got a contact in Potch, and I hope to go visit them. Oh, of course, we have could be a problem if it's too far.
Yeah,
and we can't carry. They don't have an A-roof, so we'll have to work out something.
Yes, but we'll speak to them.
Or they can, yeah. So I think maybe we should just focus a little bit on this movie I saw on Eric Kandel, because it picks up on the theme of, you know, reflections of the past. So just some highlights that Eric Kandel was born in Vienna. He had an older brother, and he was witness at the age of 9 to Kristallnacht in 1936. He actually saw the synagogues, except the one, the central one. But every single shul in Vienna that was had extremely prominent Jews, not just wealthy, not political, but Sigmund Freud, for example, came out of Vienna. But he witnesses at a boy as 9. And then there were flashbacks to those scenes, and And then he got to America. His parents got him on a boat, and he went to high school. And this is quite a cute story, that there were 1,140 matric kids, and only two made it to Harvard. But his father, Eric Kandel's father, had got him into a place called Brook College for $15. It was like an admission fee, and he had paid it. And there was a history teacher at the school, and he said, "Eric, you must go to Harvard." But he said, "My father's already paid." So the history teacher took out $15 from his pocket and says, "Give this back to your father, and we're going to make plans for you to go to Harvard." Because he was extremely bright. And the rest is basically history. He became a psychiatrist, a psychoanalyst, and then became very interested in motivation and especially memory. And he got hold of a snail called the plesia. It was actually, it's a slimy snail, but they've got massive neurons. And
we've got a caller on the line. Who am I speaking to?
Jules Sachs.
Yes.
How are you?
Hello, this is Isaac Resnick here from Chai FM.
This is Jules Sachs, Annette's husband, Nettie Sachs's husband. How are you?
Yeah, all right, and you?
All right, thanks. I just want to inform you, my parents were Harry and Janie Sachs. They were also really well known in Potsdam. My dad, we lived there, and he was manager of Burgers. And we were there, and everybody knew who we were. And I'd like to take the opportunity of wishing everybody a good Shabbos from Nettie and I, and all the posh people, and it was a very good show that you put on this morning, and keep up the good work, and good Shabbos to all.
Thank you very much. Go well, and have a wonderful Shabbat.
Thanks, Isaac.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank
there you,
you
are, see?
So thank you very much, and I look forward to posh, but back to Eric Kandel. So he worked out how we put down long-term memory. Now, when you were talking about all the culture and all the people they brought down, that what was really how does the brain do it? So he was actually talking to you. I'm watching the movie Eric Kandel, and I've got this Isaac across the and you're so well known, Isaac, for your memory. Where most Shabbos meals you come up there so also what was interweaved into this movie, which I would like to see being shown at all Jewish schools, and I think all Jews should see it, because he never gave up on his Yiddishkeit, and he went back to shuls, and with his yarmulke he was talking to the various communities, and then they showed, of course it was not real, but of a Seder, and him leading the Seder and that link. The irony is that he was kicked out. He was like, the Austrians would have murdered him. But when he became famous, they wanted the COVID.
They wanted the
And he had this huge dilemma, should he go back or not? And on his 50th wedding anniversary to Denise, they took the family there, and they saw lots of shots of where he lived and where the father had his shop and all kinds of things. So it was interesting, not just the person, but his own memories. So now he was, let's say, 70 of Kristallnacht when he was
9 years old,
and where he grew up, and the flat that he grew up, and the school that he went to, and the shul that he went to, and that's quite interesting, is how we put down these memories, and he showed how it's done, long term potentiation, and he won the greatest scientific prize for that.
You know, you mentioned, he says, when he was the Austrians wanted to get rid of him, and then when he became famous, they wanted to welcome him.
Yes.
The exact same thing happened with Albert Einstein.
Right.
Remember, he had to leave Germany. He was persona non grata. And when he became world famous, then the Germans said, well, they're claiming him. You know, he's from Germany. He's one of us.
Yes. Kandel said that the tragedy at one level is how many of people of his caliber
were murdered.
Were murdered. And at a great loss to humanity and the world and advance. So it was a movie that played a lot of my emotions. My wife, Shira, we loved it because it also showed the lab work and how synapses actually, which are the connections of nerves, how they grow. So in real time, it's like taking a movie. When you're putting down a memory, You tell me, you know, at the end of each day, before you go to sleep, is you look back on the day. If they had to look at your brain, they would be showing this movement. Most people think that the brain is static. As you're thinking and you whatever you might be doing, thinking and feeling and remembering, your brain is active, and this is the enchantment of the human brain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us this brain that's not static, and here was proof that the brain, when it's making a memory, it's like buds. You know, they have these movies of these clips of flowers.
Correct.
Very fast.
Yes.
You know, they bloom.
Bloom, yes.
Very fast. So if you can imagine that kind of effect, when a person is given a stimulus or a new idea, and they show that on the brain scans, it's actually growing, the bulbing, and looking and searching and connecting and all kinds of things. So we live in an exciting time, and it was really good to, when they had the Seder, to say, okay, this is a traditional Seder, but, you know, they managed to know, and they went through the Haggadah, and that was a special part of it.
Right, yeah. We're taking a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
We have another text from Angela. The chauffeur blower was Echiel Aluri. Now, I just want to tell you about an incident that happened in Potchefstroom.
Yes.
I'm sure many of you remember Julius Weinstein, the late Julius Weinstein.
Yes, yes.
He was the chairman of the Zionist Federation. Mm-hmm. And he was doing his military service, and he was stationed in Potchefstroom. And one day he walked into a shop, a little grocery shop, fruit shop, owned by a Jewish couple. And he walked in and he wanted to buy some apples or whatever, some fruit. And the wife said to the husband, verkauft him the nittergute, the rotten ones, give him the bad ones.
Mm.
So Julius Weinstein answered in Yiddish back, why do you want to sell me the rotten ones? They were so embarrassed, this couple,
yeah,
that they became the closest friends, that Julius Weinstein used to have Friday night Shabbos with them. He was always invited to them for Pesach, for Seder, well, while he was doing his service. But, you know, yeah, verkauft ihm der verfeuerte Frucht.
So Julius Weinstein was a young boy.
He was a young boy,
in the army.
But he spoke beautiful Yiddish.
Yes.
You know, he was born in Europe. And we've got a caller on the line. Hello?
Hello, hello. It's Angela that sent you the text.
Yes.
Hello, Angela.
Yes, hi. I wanted to just tell Dr. Moch that I've got very deep roots to Potchefstroom, and I can give him lots of numbers, addresses, and places to contact. Is there any way I can contact you after the program, Dr. Moch?
Yeah, I've got your number. Is it 082-331-3019? Can I send
15 or 19, it doesn't matter.
Okay,
yeah.
So I can send you a WhatsApp. And I'm only going out this afternoon. We're coming back Sunday, but we thought that we're staying in a road called Parais Avenue. Do you know that area?
Parais, but that sounds like it's on the top side of Potcher, not anywhere near the shore.
Yeah, but we would probably like to go for a walk, and if it's in walking distance of anybody, we might just...
Quite far from there to like the shore. What's very interesting in Potchefstroom is the cemetery.
No,
there's one very, very sad tombstone there that says, here lie buried, something like this, here lie buried the remains of a once flourishing Jewish community.
Oh,
and
no.
All the kalesim and books and things that were not taken out are lying there. When we go there, we cry.
Okay, so maybe on Sunday morning we might pop in. What I'll do is I'll WhatsApp you, and maybe you can give me
WhatsApp
the addresses.
Me.
I can give you the addresses.
Yes.
But
give me the address of the telephone number of the B&B.
Yeah.
Or something.
Now,
cell number.
Well, what I'll do is I'll WhatsApp you, and we can have a discussion on that, or I'll speak to you.
All
thank
right.
you. After the program.
Okay, great.
Lovely.
Yeah,
so
great.
Thank
and
you.
And also, I'm related to the Kirshes, so whatever you want to know, I can help you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I sent you a message about Echiel Lurie. That was my father-in-law. He was the Harry James, the chauffeur blower.
Yeah, I remember him very well. I remember him very well.
He used to blow us.
You remember him?
Do you
okay. Just WhatsApp me, Dr. Okay.
Angela, are you in Johannesburg or are you in Potchefstroom?
Yes, now I'm in Joburg.
Okay.
No, I'm Joburg.
Angela,
okay.
Do you remember the Subel family?
The Subel family?
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember them. But, you know, the whole Miller family came from Potch.
For the correct. And the Orlovitzes. Yeah,
and there was a very... And the Orlovitzes... And there was a big hair family.
Yes, yes.
As well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you'll speak to Dr. Mach, and I'm sure...
Yeah, when I first went to Potch, you couldn't even get a seat in the show.
Correct.
Oh, my goodness.
For Yontif. Wow. Very sad.
Really sad. Wow.
But you must go and see that tombstone, Dr. Mach.
Okay, I'll speak to you after the program.
WhatsApp me afterwards.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Right. So just to remind you once again, Shabbat comes in at 5:11. Motzi Shabbat 6:04, the Pasha Balak. Sunday afternoon 4 and 5, we have the Art of the Cantor. And on Tuesday morning, Talk of the Town, but it's also a fast day, 17th of Tammuz. And I asked the question, what is the significance? The significance is they breached the walls of the old city.
That's which goes back to 1967.
Yeah, well, yeah.
When the Israeli army breached it.
That's when it started, they breached the wall. And of course, Tisha B'Av is when they took the city. So I want to thank Dr. Mark for coming in. Enjoy your Shabbat in Potch. And you know what? Do me one favor. Take photographs, please.
Yes, I've got an iPad. And I think on Sunday morning we might go to the cemetery
and take
and see a different part of Potch.
Right.
And so thank you so much for your encyclopedic knowledge today.
Thank you. And thank you, Craig, for controlling. Go well. We have another call on the phone. Who am I speaking to? Hello? Hello? That's gone off.
Hello?
Yes, hello, yes.
I wanted to know the name of the movie that Jonathan Mach was talking about somebody who won the Nobel Prize.
Yes.
Okay.
About memory.
Okay, it's on Eric Kandel. Kandel. Eric Kandel.
Eric Kandel.
Yeah,
yes.
So if you Google that, and also if you contact the
Chief Rabbi Harris Community Center, 011-728-8018.
Yeah, and they're very organized, and they might be able to replay it again because it's been downloaded. And
what is it called, the movie, Eric Kandel?
Yeah, it's something, I don't remember the exact title, but it's like a biography, autobiography. It's a movie of his life. And it crosses so many different themes, not just the science of it, but him as his identity as a Jew, which was critical to this whole thing, and then the major issue was, should he go back when he was famous? Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So thank you, Craig, for controlling. Go well, have a wonderful Shabbat, and enjoy the rest of the week.